You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. And we return here. It is crossover Thursday. I know I mentioned yesterday that Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles will be joining us here, but something did pop up, so we're going to push him back to tomorrow, so we will still have a crossover with Locked On Orioles, but it will come just a day later. So here in this first segment, it gives me an opportunity to talk a bit about the Ravens injury report from Wednesday, but that does not mean all crossover content is done here. We, of course, have Tyler Rowland from Locked On Titans joining us, and we'll have him in the second and third segments as we talk everything related to this Ravens playoff matchup in the wild card round with the Tennessee Titans. Now, I do want to acknowledge before we start that there are certainly many events going on in America right now, and what I could only classify as a horrible, sad time for the country. And I'm just hopeful that listening here today and really listening whenever gives a sense of relief from what's going on currently in the country. The events going on are certainly serious, and I don't want to take away from that. But again, I'm hopeful that this show gives relief from what's going on in the world, in the country. But with all that being said, we're going to jump right into what our show is today, which is an injury report on the Baltimore Ravens for Wednesday and crossover Thursday with Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans. So let's jump right in. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and or there's a podcast. We're there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at ChaosStriker34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, hype videos, which I will be coming out with another hype video for the playoffs and more. So, with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here, starting off with the Ravens Wednesday injury report before jumping into crossover Thursday with Tyler Rowland. So let's just get into that. The Ravens have been getting healthy over the last couple of weeks. Now, they did experience a minor setback when they had guys like Yannick Ngakoue and Willie Snead and Patrick Bakari miss Sunday's game against Cincinnati in Week 17, but they're starting to get those guys back. So the Ravens injury report from Wednesday, there were four Ravens who did not practice and three who were limited. So let's first start off with the did not practice players. So we'll start with Marlon Humphrey with a shoulder injury. This is probably nothing serious. Humphrey has probably been a bit banged up. I mean, he's been the corner on Baltimore's roster who has played in the most games this season, and even he missed a game due to being on the coronavirus list. He missed the Ravens matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. So with Humphrey, I think this is something where, and I think Jameson Hensley here agrees with me, he tweeted out something similar where the Ravens are just putting Humphrey on the schedule. They don't want to force him to do anything that might be a little bit too much physical activity right now, because look, right now, 100% of the NFL, or at least 99%, nobody really is 100% healthy at this point. They have been battle-tested, they have been bruised, injuries, this, that, and the other, minor stuff, major stuff. Nobody is really 100% healthy right now at this point in the season, so getting guys some rest and making sure they are as in best physical shape as possible, that's really big. So he didn't practice last Wednesday, actually, and then returned on Thursday and Friday. So for Baltimore, I think this just might be getting him on that same schedule. I wouldn't expect him to be in danger of missing Sunday's game against Tennessee. Willie Snead did not practice with an ankle injury. Snead was one of those guys I mentioned who missed Sunday's game in Week 17. He took a really nasty hit early in that New York Giants game in Week 16. And this is something where Snead would be really nice to have in this one. He's a third down veteran chain mover, can catch really key passes late in games, and has proven to be a really good blocker downfield. Now, if the Ravens don't have Snead, and right now, based on what John Harbaugh's been saying, I'd probably say it's around 50-50 at this point, because Harbaugh's hopeful, but I don't think he necessarily knows whether he will be available for this game. Obviously, if Snead isn't in shape to play, it would honestly be more of a hindrance than a help to have him out there. We saw that with Mark Andrews in the playoff game last season, with Mark Ingram in the playoff game last season. So the Ravens definitely don't want to be in that situation again. But if Snead is unable to play, Devin Duvernay's snap count would increase. Do the Ravens activate James Prochet and put him in the slot? Do the Ravens keep James Prochet inactive and give Chris Moore some offensive snaps? Des Bryant, does his snap count go up, stay the same? So a lot of things to work with. I certainly feel better about the Ravens wide receiver room than I did earlier in the year towards the middle part of the year. The Ravens weapons for Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson's weapons have come on really big in recent weeks and have been really performing well. Another player who did not practice for Baltimore on Wednesday, offensive tackle DJ Fluker. He had a knee issue. This isn't something that we've really heard about. I think it might be a new issue, but for Fluker, they've been rotating him in with Tyree Phillips, and it's been working. Fluker has played really well. Phillips has played really well, and it would hurt to not have Fluker out there. Now, with that being said, I don't think the Ravens necessarily think Fluker is in jeopardy to miss this game. Obviously, Thursday's injury report will be telling in that. If Fluker is able to return in a limited fashion, that should tell us that, yeah, he's probably going to play on Sunday. But for now, Fluker did not participate. And then Calais Campbell did not participate with a not injury-related issue. So I assume that that's just a veteran day. And he will be back on the practice field on Thursday and Friday. And he is good to go for Sunday, it seems like. But the three limited participants, this is where things get really big for Baltimore, and big in a good way. The Ravens had three limited participants: Patrick Mecarri, Yannick Ngakoue, and Jimmy Smith. Mecarri with a back injury, Ngakoue with a thigh injury, and Jimmy Smith with those ribs and shoulder injuries. So this is big news. Harbaugh said that he is pretty certain that Smith and Ngakoue will be able to return. He was a little less clear on Patrick Mecarri. I think the Ravens are just looking to see how he ends up participating in practice, how his sessions go. Right now, the Ravens have a bunch of key pieces on the offensive line that are playing really well. One of those is Mecarri. Another is Tristan Colon-Castillo, the undrafted rookie free agent center, who came in and has played really good snaps against both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think a key issue for this is you would like to have Patrick Mecarri out there. He has a playoff game under his belt. He has performed really well. But if Mecarri is forced to miss this game, or if he's simply just not healthy enough, the Ravens have a good backup option in Tristan Colon-Castillo. I personally would not expect Matt Skura to get on the field unless it is a literal dire situation and the Ravens have no one else who can play center. For Ngakoue, a big piece of the Ravens' defense has become Yannick Ngakoue. He has been getting pressure consistently. He uses devastating pass rush moves, including his cross chop, to get offensive linemen off balance, get into the backfield quickly. He has actually been a pretty nice force against the run as well, something that he was actually considered not to be that good at coming out of Minnesota and even sometimes in Jacksonville. So it's been nice to see Ngakoue's transition into this defense. And if he is out there on Sunday, it is a huge boost to this Ravens' defense, but the biggest boost of them all, it comes with Jimmy Smith. Now, Smith's value, it's in question right now for some people, but personally, I don't see it that way. Yes, Anthony Averett is playing really well, and he has been pretty seamless in his transition to the third cornerback role with Jimmy Smith out, but Jimmy Smith provides you that versatility. He can match up on safeties really well. He's a veteran. He's crafty. He always shows up when the moment's right. And for Smith, he is just a huge part of what the Ravens do on defense. It's kind of like what Brandon Williams does for this Baltimore defense. Someone who I think goes a little bit under the radar, is a little underappreciated, but at the end of the day, he is somebody who provides such a big impact on this Baltimore Ravens defense that it's kind of hard to not notice it. So with Harbaugh saying Smith is likely to return for this playoff game, that just gives the Ravens such a boost. The Ravens have struggled to put together consistent performances for a full 60 minutes, and Smith should certainly help with that. So the Ravens injury report for Wednesday, it is certainly on the right track, and Baltimore should be getting back some key contributors on Sunday. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be talking with Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans about the Ravens' upcoming playoff matchup with Tennessee, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. The NFL regular season is finished, and the playoff picture is set. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Third Time is a Charm, a crossover Thursday conversation between me, Tyler Rowland of the Locked On Titans podcast, and Kevin Allstriker from the Locked On Ravens podcast. Kevin, this is the third time in the last calendar year that we have had a crossover conversation, despite the fact that we are not in each other's division. These teams really like playing each other, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, Tyler. These two teams, they match up really well together, to be honest. Just the ground and pound styles these teams have, the underrated passing games these teams have, not to mention their defenses can also be up to the task. So this game on Sunday is going to be a good one, and I can't wait for it.
Well, speak for yourself. Your defense may be up to the task, but I say that as a joke. Obviously, in the last two games against the Ravens, the Titans defense has played better than it does most of the time. So it leaves you kind of to wonder if the Titans just philosophy they have for going up against the Ravens is just a good one and it helps them play better than they really are. But we're going to kind of get into that. So obviously the Titans, when they played against the Ravens, they used their defensive ends and their outside linebackers to crash down the line of scrimmage and hit the running back. They assigned their inside linebackers to scrape over the top to the Ravens in hopes that they could push the Ravens horizontally, have them running horizontally, and then they could chase them out of bounds to the sideline. It's been effective, to a point at least, in the last two games. What do you think the Ravens may do differently on offense in this game to try to get a little bit more consistent success against the Titans?
Yeah, Tyler, this game against the Titans, you look back on it, and this was an overtime game. Baltimore lost it. And it's really tough to imagine just how Baltimore lost it because they were going up big. They score a touchdown in the third quarter to go up by a bunch. And usually the mantra with the Ravens is, look, the Ravens go up and they're almost impossible to beat. Yet Tennessee comes back and beats them. It was a combination of the defense just not finishing. Baltimore's defense has had issues throughout this season playing good 60 minutes of football, finishing an entire game going the full way, which is playing good football on defense. And we saw that. And look, you have to give credit to the Tennessee offense, to Ryan Tannehill, to Derrick Henry. Corey Davis torched the Ravens in this one, 5 for 113. I don't think I'll ever get the image of A.J. Brown plowing through the entire Ravens defense out of my mind anytime soon. It was just a bunch of different things. And against the Tennessee Titans, if you don't tackle, you don't win the game. And that's ultimately what happened in this one. On offense, at least, Lamar Jackson attempted 29 passes in this one. The Ravens ran 33 times. So it was a bit of a balanced attack by them. But Tyler, in this game, this was right before the Ravens really found out who they were. Right. They were kind of experimenting with things throughout the season. And guys like Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman, they've admitted that they were maybe trying to force things a bit earlier in the season. They were definitely trying to show teams that, hey, look, we can throw this football too. We know we can run it, but we're going to throw it as well. And that kind of came back to bite them because, look, the identity of this team, the identity of the Baltimore Ravens is definitely a running offense. That doesn't mean their passing offense isn't effective, but they had to learn kind of going throughout this season how to make their pass game go out and perform right after their run game. So J.K. Dobbins gets 15 carries in this one, Lamar Jackson 13, Gus Edwards 3, and Mark Ingram 2. So this was just like the first couple weeks of them truly trying to identify who they were on offense. They identified, you know, a good offensive line that they have now in Baltimore. They're 5-0 over the last five games on a five-game winning streak. They outscored opponents on that five-game winning streak by 97 points. And it's really just the ground and pound offense that's been doing it with the hint of passing sprinkled in there. Lamar Jackson has greatly improved his deep ball accuracy, his throws to the sideline. In the run game, the Ravens are using a bunch more sweep motions and a bunch of draws up the middle with Lamar Jackson. You'll see them motion guys up the middle.
And tons of motion now. That was a big change I noticed on tape. They're using way more pre-snap, at-snap motion, varied runs. It seems like they're running, you know, more than just their typical power, their typical RPO stuff. It seems like they've really evolved the offense.
Yeah, exactly. And the Ravens last year, they were, I believe, the number one team in pre-snap motion in the entire NFL. They have not changed that this year, but they've done it even more. And that has in turn resulted in some illegal formation penalties. The running joke is that every week Baltimore does get an illegal formation penalty. But you'll see J.K. Dobbins motion across the field, take the ball from Lamar Jackson and just sweep it up the middle and cross the edge. And he has deceptive speed. People don't understand that. But what they do with that look as well is Lamar Jackson could pass off on that option and just take that ball straight up the middle. He actually scored on the exact same play using that exact play. three times against three NFC East teams. So the Ravens have definitely utilized their pre-snap motion more. Their passing game is flowing. Their rushing offense is unbelievable. They rushed for over 400 yards last week against the Bengals. So they have definitely found their stride.
Yeah, and it's been noticeable. And I can tell you, I can already hear in the back of my mind the Titans fans listening saying, well, they haven't played any. I don't buy into any of that any year. The NFL is tough. It's tough to get wins. So the Ravens streak that they're on and how hot they are right now absolutely has to be respected. But that's a really good breakdown of what we're going to see on the offensive side of the ball from the Ravens and what the Titans need to be looking out for. On the defensive side, I come again to reference something that you talked about earlier, Kevin. You talked about Corey Davis's performance against the Ravens. And I'll tell you the reason that he had such success. The Ravens were running a lot of cover three and a lot of man, which means that the cornerback, as you know, I'm just explaining for the listeners, the cornerbacks are guarding the outside thirds of the field. So what the Titans were doing to take advantage of knowing that you have a one-on-one matchup with the corner without any help on the outside, the Titans were faking their in routes, faking their crossing routes that they run so successfully with play action. And then they were having their wide receivers bend back outside, specifically Corey Davis, who more often than not is the guy running the deep crosser, while A.J. Brown runs the in route over the middle that I'm sure Ravens fans know exactly what I'm talking about. The Titans run that drift play over and over and over again. So the Titans took advantage of the coverage that the Ravens were running very often in cover three and man and used that fake crosser into the corner route to take advantage of the Ravens on defense. Do you think, Kevin, that they will go away from the man and the cover three that they primarily ran in that last matchup and add in a little bit more cover two or cover four to take away what the Titans were doing on the outsides of the field?
Yeah, Tyler, I think it's a good point. And the Ravens with their defense with Don Martindale, I think the first thing you have to look at is their ability to blitz the quarterback. And Ryan Tannehill has been one of the most lethal play-action passers in the league, but that's not all to his game. I think people kind of put Ryan Tannehill in this like category of, okay, well, he's a great play-action passer because he has Derrick Henry, this, that, and the other. But Ryan Tannehill is an effective quarterback. I think people are kind of putting him in a little bit of an underrated zone. But for the Ravens defense, you know, you mentioned Corey Davis. I mentioned Corey Davis. I'm going to mention Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters had probably his worst game in a Ravens uniform against Tennessee. He was getting constantly burned by those outside schemes that Tennessee was running on offense. And for the Ravens, he was getting put on an island. So the Ravens were biting on the play action fakes. And look, with Derrick Henry, you have to respect him as a runner. He's arguably the best running back in the NFL right now. I think I'd definitely give him that title. So you're going to be biting on those play action fakes. And what that did was with the Ravens, when they bring guys up the line, they can stack the entire line at points. You never really know how many guys are coming because Baltimore does love to blitz. But in that game, the Ravens definitely went with more of a heavy set. But part of that was they were missing Calais Campbell and they were missing Brandon Williams, arguably their top two run defenders. Calais Campbell also gives them an inside pass rush presence. So what they were doing to try to take away the run and pretty much force Ryan Tannehill to beat them is putting guys like Marcus Peters on an island and putting him in man and saying, all right, you're going to be responsible with this. You have to watch out for these fakes and make sure that you're not caught on that island. And time again, Marcus Peters just got continually burned. So I do think with the return of Calais Campbell, with the return of Brandon Williams, we will see Baltimore kind of ease up off of sending so many guys to the line at once and then ultimately sending them to try to disrupt the run game, because Baltimore definitely needs to take away some of the stuff the Tennessee Titans did in that first game.
Yeah, and that particular matchup is going to be one to watch, because while the Ravens were missing Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, the Titans were also missing their best offensive lineman and left guard Roger Saffold. So I in my personal opinion, the Ravens two players, their impact is going to outweigh the impact of the Titans starting guard. But just saying, you know, that interior matchup there in the run game is going to be vastly different in this matchup than it was before. And on that note, obviously, both of these teams have had issues with COVID throughout the season more than maybe any other teams in the NFL. And that obviously had to do with some of the slow start the Ravens were off to. But is there any COVID impacts on this game that you're aware of? And outside of just that, are there any injury impacts that you think could affect this game from the Ravens side of things?
Yeah, Tyler, the Ravens have been decimated this season. I know the Titans have as well, by injuries, by COVID. There's been some subpar play here and there. They've had to battle a lot of adversity to get to the point where they are 6-5. You know, that they are that they're that record after the Steelers game where they pretty much don't have half their team. And I think if you kind of asked around the league, people would probably say, all right, well, they could probably lose a game here or there and still make the playoffs. That would not have been the case unless they had lost to the New York Giants. That's the only game they could have lost and still made the playoffs. Baltimore, their playoffs started over a month ago. So with the Ravens, their COVID issues, they've been kind of like continuing in small bursts. You'll see a guy go on the COVID list here. Sam Cook, their punter, missed last week's game against the Bengals with being on the COVID list. I believe he had an inconclusive test in the NFL, and I guess the Ravens just did not feel comfortable with putting him out there. So I think he will be back, but the underlying effects of that outbreak are all gone. You know, you've seen guys throughout the league, Tyler, I know, just be affected by the virus after the fact. I know Miles Garrett had a coughing fit with reporters, and this disease, this pandemic is nothing to take lightly, and it's affecting world-class athletes. It's affecting their families. So luckily, I think Baltimore is past that COVID issue right now. Obviously, at the moment of this recording, I don't know anything, but there could be a positive test pop up here or there just on any day, because that's the unknown nature of this
world.
League. Exactly. But in terms of injuries, Tyler, for the Ravens, again, they've been decimated, but they're seemingly getting healthy now at just the right time. Obviously, guys who have been on injured reserves, such as Tavon Young, Ronnie Stanley, Nick Boyle, those guys are all not available to play. But the Ravens should be getting two big pieces back in Jimmy Smith and Yannick Ngakoue. Jimmy Smith has been out for weeks now, and I think they've been resting him and saving him for the playoffs. So his impact is huge on the field for Baltimore. And Ngakoue has been arguably the Ravens' best pass rusher, even though he came into the team about a month late. He was acquired from Minnesota in that trade. Other injuries include Willie Snead, Patrick McCurry. Calais Campbell has been, you know, in and out with that calf injury, but he should be good to go. The Ravens, they're getting healthy right now, and I think it's the best time to get healthy because it's playoff football.
Yeah, you know what's really funny about some of the things you said there? Number one, I can give you a specific Titans example of a player being impacted by COVID. The Titans' long snapper for the last 8 seasons was Bo Brinkley. Incredibly solid, just on the roster, didn't matter the coaches, didn't matter the system, just a great long snapper always around. He got COVID in the middle of the season, came back 2 weeks later, and was terrible. I'm sure that Ravens fans, and I know you, Kevin, from watching the NFL, remember that Titans game against the Colts in primetime where the Titans are winning by 4 points, and then they botch 2 punts in a row, the Colts score 2 touchdowns in a row, and now the Titans are down by 10, and they lose to the Colts in that primetime game. So the Titans have been adversely affected by the after effects that can affect these world-class athletes, even if it's just a long snapper. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was you're talking about getting hot at the right time, getting healthy at the right time, figuring out who you are as a team after a few tough weeks. Sounds a lot like the 2019 Tennessee Titans to me. So speaking of the Tennessee Titans, we are going to flip the conversation a little bit. Kevin is going to ask me some questions about the Titans, and we'll talk more about this game next.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We return here with both Locked On Ravens and Locked On Titans. Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens here still with Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans. And Tyler, we just talked about the Ravens, but now I'm going to get in that seat and ask you some questions about these Tennessee Titans. And I think, Tyler, whenever we talk, I have to ask you about Ryan Tannehill, because he is somebody who I mentioned earlier, I think doesn't get the credit he deserves. Ryan Tannehill is a starting caliber NFL quarterback in this league. He is actually someone who I think, you know, people put him in that play action list and say, oh, he's the best play action quarterback in the NFL, but he can't do anything else. His success is tied to Derrick Henry, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill has been someone who has taken step after step after step to improving his game. And since we last spoke here, Tyler, just a few months ago, I wanted to ask you how Ryan Tannehill has looked over these last 5-6 games heading into the playoffs.
Ryan Tannehill has been fantastic. I think he's played some of his best football here at the end of the season. And the craziest part about it is, Kevin, and this is, I'm going to throw some dirt on myself here. during the Ravens game, the Ravens went up 21-10. Ryan Tannehill had a terrible interception on an awesome, awesome exotic pressure by Wink Martindale. I still have it saved on my computer. Just incredible defensive scheme. But Ryan Tannehill was completely fooled, threw an interception, had a few inaccurate passes to the sideline on third downs. And I actually tweeted out in the second quarter of that game, are we watching Ryan Tannehill fall apart? Like, is that what's happening before our eyes right now? And of course, that was coming after a loss to the Bengals, a loss to the Steelers, a loss to the Colts. I have to say, I was wrong, because after that, about halftime of that Ravens game, he just started lighting it up all the way to the end of the year. And not only do I think Ryan Tannehill is a starting-level quarterback in the NFL, Ryan Tannehill is a top-8 quarterback in the NFL. And people can talk about scheme, people can talk about play action, but if you go on any of the advanced analytics sites, you go on PFF, you go on Football Outsiders, go on Pro Football or Pro Football Reference, it doesn't matter. All of the statistics show you that Ryan Tannehill is an amazing quarterback regardless of the scenario. And most quarterbacks in the NFL, this is always my argument, most quarterbacks in the NFL are better with play action. I mean, the whole idea is to give yourself an advantageous situation in the passing game by influencing the defenders, making them think it's run. It is in nature supposed to make it easier to throw the ball. And I like to give this comparison to me, people saying, you know, well, Ryan Tannehill without play action, he wouldn't even be that good. Okay, well, don't let Steph Curry shoot three-pointers. How good is Steph? You know, that's like saying, oh, the Warriors aren't that good if they didn't shoot threes. Yeah, the Titans aren't that good if they didn't play action. Like, to me, it's like baked into the scheme. Ryan Tannehill's skill set fits exactly what we're doing. So to use that scheme against him to say he's not a quality player or something, I think that's asinine. And Ravens fans have seen Ryan Tannehill make some incredible plays against them. So of any fan base in the NFL, they obviously should know that he's more than just a handoff to Derrick Henry. I think that's ludicrous to think like that. And anyone who talks like that just simply isn't watching what Ryan Tannehill is doing on a week-to-week basis. But we can't ignore the elephant in the room. There is a 2,000-yard rusher in the backfield with him, and that obviously does help matters. But to me, it's symbiotic. You can't have one without the other, and neither would be doing what they're doing right now without the other one. So I personally said before the season, throwing more dirt on myself here, that Ryan Tannehill is not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and I was proven wrong about that as well. Ryan Tannehill has been fantastic this year, and I hope with this performance from this season, he starts to get a little bit more credit nationally.
Yeah, Tyler, and let's talk about that 2,000-yard rusher. It's DH2K and CJ2K, you know? Tennessee has that, you know, they just have an inkling for getting those 2,000-yard backs, but Derrick Henry has been nothing short of phenomenal this season. Mm-hmm. And talking about him and what he's done to Baltimore, obviously ran all over the team in the playoffs, and then in this first game against Tennessee, the Ravens gave up a ton of rushing yards to him, 28 carries for 133 yards, although for most of the game, they held him in check, but right, part of the magic of Derrick Henry is that fourth quarter comes and it starts to get hard to tackle him, and the game goes to overtime, just forget about it. But Tyler, if you're this Ravens defense, and you know, all scheming things aside, based off of what Don Martindale does, this, that, and the other, how would you personally stop Derrick Henry, or at least try to neutralize him as best as you could?
Oh yeah, I have this all plotted out. I've seen it so many times. Number one, the biggest key is interior penetration. So whether that be your defensive linemen themselves being able to penetrate, or whether it be your second level linebackers being able to penetrate, the whole key to a zone running scheme is combo blocks. You want your center, your guard, your tackle, your guard, a combination of players to be able to double team a defensive lineman on the line of scrimmage. And then after the job is done, one of those players get up to the second level and take care of a linebacker. So now you're killing two birds with one stone. With one block, you can take away two players on that combo block. So it's multiple things that you can do. One, the Ravens have to switch up their fronts a ton. They can't just go four-man front. They can't just go five-man front. They got to switch it up and make it different for the Titans to create confusion on what the blocking scheme should be. So if you vary your fronts to confuse the Titans all game long and keep them on their toes, you bring interior pressure throughout the game to try to disrupt the timing and the combo blocks of those outside zone runs, I think you can have a great chance of getting Derrick Henry. Now, a lot of teams, what they're doing too is We're talking about 9 in the box. Not even 8. We're talking 9 in the box. 5 down linemen so that you have all offensive linemen practically covered, which makes it tougher to get those combo blocks off, which once the Ravens do that, Ravens fans, watch for this. If you're in a 5-man front, Arthur Smith is going to bring out a fullback. If you're in a 4-man front, Arthur Smith is going to stay without a fullback. So watch that happen throughout the game, the chess match going back and forth. But that'll be key for the Ravens to vary their fronts so that Arthur Smith can't catch on to a pattern and call the right plays. It'll also be important for them to have their second-level defenders, whether that be linebackers, safeties, slot cornerbacks, creating interior pressure and disrupting the timing of the Titans' zone running scheme. So that's the key to limiting Derrick Henry. But the thing is, you can bring all that interior pressure and hit him in the backfield, but he's shown this year Derrick Henry would be a top 10 rusher in the NFL if you just counted his after contact yardage. It's outrageous. So you can do all of that, and Derrick Henry, just with his immense talent, can still beat you, but that's got to be the plan to start.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is nothing short of a monster. But quickly, before we get into final score predictions, I do want to talk just a little bit about Tennessee's defense, because it has been, I'll call it a struggle this season for the Titans defense. There's definitely talent on this roster on defense. Kevin Byard, Malcolm Butler, Rashawn Evans. There have been guys also, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is somebody who I know Ravens fans definitely do have a problem with, but is definitely talented nonetheless. Tyler, what has gone wrong with Tennessee's defense this season? I know it hasn't been all bad, but I'm sure it's not the season that you or Titans fans had been imagining for it.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, hold on. Before we start talking about the Titans defense, give me a quick second to grab a trash can in case I become nauseous. but I could talk an entire episode about what's happened with the defense. I will spare you that 30-minute soliloquy. I'll keep it short for you. One, the Titans didn't hire a defensive coordinator, and Mike Vrabel has now proven that when he is in charge of a defense, it's going to be the worst defense in the NFL. We saw that in his last year at Houston. We're seeing that now. So losing Dean Pease, who Ravens fans know very well, was a big loss for the Titans, and a bigger loss is the fact that Mike Vrabel thought that he could handle it and didn't need to replace him. Also, the Titans have a first-year play caller on defense and outside linebacker Shane Bowen, and anytime somebody is doing a job for the first time, there's going to be growing pain. So the Titans have seen issues with they're running a slot blitz from the left-hand side, but on the right-hand side, they're backed off 12 yards, and the quarterback throws a 5-yard out to the right-hand side before the blitz can even think about getting pressure on the quarterback. The Titans also have had issues with regression from certain players who had been playing better. Kevin Byard had been one of the better safeties in the league his entire career, and he's fallen off a cliff this year. Jayon Brown got hurt earlier in the year against the Ravens on a dirty play, quite frankly, but he had regressed while he was playing and playing the worst football of his career. The Titans also have a talent issue outside of Harold Landry, an outside linebacker. They tried to get Jadeveon Clowney. They tried to get Vic Beasley, and neither of those moves worked. And you could say, oh, well, they tried. But how come they haven't developed anybody prior to that in the first 4 years of John Robinson? How come they hadn't drafted anybody worth a damn in the first 4 years under John Robinson at edge rusher? So, and then you look at the cornerback position. The Titans lost Dory Jackson for almost the entire season. He just returned like 2 weeks ago. The Titans have Malcolm Butler, who's a solid cornerback, but one of the slower starting cornerbacks in the NFL. They have Jonathan Joseph for a large part of the season, who's 37 years old and shouldn't be in the NFL right now anyways, will probably retire now. And they also had an undrafted free agent practice squad guy in Breon Borders for a lot of the time. So the Titans simply haven't had the talent at edge rusher or in the secondary to be a better defense. They also have had poor coaching, which has caused regression from some of their players who performed better in previous years. And they didn't replace a defensive coordinator who, in my opinion, not just a schematic advantage from the knowledge a defensive coordinator could bring, but I truly don't believe there is anyone in the building who can stand up to Mike Vrabel and tell him that his plan is stupid or his play call shouldn't work, or there's no one there to challenge Mike Vrabel's ideas on defense. And we have learned that Mike Vrabel's ideas on defense are not solid. He's not a good defensive coach. He's a good head coach like John Harbaugh, a leader of men, a CEO. He's not a guru on offense or defense. He's just a dang good football coach. That's what Mike Vrabel is. No one should ever mistake Mike Vrabel for a defensive guy because he doesn't get defensive football. He doesn't. It's been proven out anytime he's had responsibilities. So a huge, monumentous mistake by the organization not hiring a defensive coordinator who can challenge Mike Vrabel and be used as a checks and balances, a regression from some of the Titans' better defensive players, and then a lack of talent at two key positions, pass rush and cornerback. There's your three keys to the Tennessee Titans becoming one of the worst defenses in the last 20 years in the NFL.
Yeah, well, Tyler, I'm sure that all of Ravens Nation is glowing right now because, you know, the Ravens offense has found their stride, as I talked about earlier. And with that Titans defense, you know, maybe this is a game where Baltimore comes out and is fueled up for revenge and they come out and just pour points on the Titans. But we have seen, you know, Lamar Jackson, he gets a lot of hate for a lot of things. The next part of his chapter is rewriting that narrative that he can't win on the playoffs. Yep. And that comes on Sunday against Tennessee. That's his next chance. So speaking of that, Tyler, let's quickly get into some final score predictions. This is a huge game. The third matchup in just under a year. What do you think happens in this one?
Well, I got to tell you, based on the history of this rivalry, you got to put your money on the road team. I mean, there's no other way around it. In this matchup, the underdog always seems to win. I mean, you can go back to the early 2000s when the Ravens ruined what I think is maybe the best Tennessee Titans football team of all time, either 2003 or 2008, and the Ravens ruined both of those. So, it's hard for me to look at the history, to look at the Titans defense, to look at the way the Ravens are playing here recently and expect the Titans to win. But, I mean, at some point we have to acknowledge that maybe the Titans just have the Ravens number. Maybe they just have such a good plan to go against Lamar Jackson that it just wins. It just finds a way to win. So I can't go against the Tennessee Titans in this matchup. I want Lamar Jackson to prove that he can beat the Titans, and he very well could. I don't think this is a slam dunk prediction whatsoever, but I am going to go with 36-34 Titans.
Yeah, Tyler, I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game, too. I think this is just a tale of two offenses that, over the years, look, the Titans have definitely had the Ravens' number. I can definitely attest to that, at least over this past year. But the way Baltimore's playing right now, you know, like you can't go against the Titans. I just can't bring myself to go against just how well Baltimore is playing right now. They are literally clicking on all cylinders. They have found their identity both on offense and on defense. And the one thing is, look, this is a whole new season. It doesn't matter what Baltimore did over the last five games. The playoffs are a whole different animal. And now the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and those young guys have another year of experience, another heartbreaking loss to fuel them. So I'm going to go with the Ravens here. My final score, I could see the Ravens putting up 40 points, but I'm going to end up going but with the final score of 35-32 Ravens. But Tyler, this is going to be a good game nonetheless. I'm looking forward to it on Sunday, and it's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, it's a great time every time. Like I said, for some reason, I have a feeling we might end up talking to each other next year as well.
As always, it's always great having Tyler on to talk Titans and Ravens, and again, three times in under a year for not being in the same division for crossovers, I think that's pretty impressive. But that's all that I have for you today on Locked On Ravens. When we get back here tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us, talking with Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles, and more, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.